Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast, where you'll learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in. Because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlotnik. Today it is my pleasure and a privilege to welcome Jason DiBono. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Mike.
Thank you very much for joining. Jason is a vice president, corporate vice president at the New View Trust Company out of Florida. You're somewhere in the central Florida, right?
Yeah. Trust company is in South Dakota, our compliance offices, and then I reside here at our administrative office in Florida.
Got you. Okay. And you live, just a couple of words about you would love to hear about your family. You live in Central Florida with your wonderful wife and two kids, Tyler and Delaney. And you are a co-founder of a charity called Share the Love, 501c organization that helps provide wheelchairs and other mobility-related services to those in need. That's actually awesome. Thank you for helping those in need.
It is fun part of what I get to do every day.
So tell us a little bit about your family, kind of a couple of just words about you, and then we'll jump about New View and self-directed IRA and some of the cool strategies that people can use to grow their self-directed accounts.
Sure. Married, great wife, two great kids, one 9, and then a little bit of a gap. We've got a just over 1-year-old, so she's starting to walk and more so run. So we spend a lot of our time chasing her around, and our son is a diehard soccer player. So always out watching him in some sort of soccer type event or other sporting event. So they keep us busy, and we like that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I got four kids and a cat. I mean, wife, four kids, and a wonderful wife, four kids and a cat. So people have two, and yeah, kids are a great joy, especially when they're doing sport. You as a parent can really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about New View. Just a couple of words about self-directed IRA custodian and just your strengths, specialty, any great ideas. My audience is pretty sophisticated, so folks who are listening know about self-directed IRA investing in general. But anything specific about New View? Why New View?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, we're an alternative custodian, just like a handful of other companies in the business. We specialize in any non-public asset. We do have a couple divisions, so we can help both advisory and, investment sponsor type clients through a division, you know, fund type stuff, as well as individual clients through our retail division. So that's a little unique. A lot of companies funnel all of their business through the same place. So, you know, it can be a little different for someone that's investing into a fund with 50 other investors, and they're having to, instead of having to go through one at a time, they can kind of go through our institutional team. So that would probably be the biggest nuance. You know, service oriented, we're $1.5 billion in size. We're big. We've been around for 18 years, but we're also not too big to where, you know, this is our process, do it, like it, or leave. So we try to be nimble, and we use a slogan and moniker here is we're kind of a customized custodial solution. So for groups raising money and advisors, the like, we tend to, you know, customize our offering a little bit to meet the needs of those groups.
That's really cool. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're obviously serving the community of your customers who have accounts, have entrusted their IRA accounts with you. And you're also serving the community of sponsors and other capital raisers. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, so we have a division that is dedicated to capital raisers, investment sponsors, and financial advisory firms that are whose clients are investing into, you know, larger scale non-public assets. So it's basically, think of it like the volume division versus the one-off division. Anything that's volume-based, we typically grows into our institutional team, and it's a dedicated team. They only service advisory business or sponsor business, so they understand the process. We're a lot more technical in that field. For example, like for your fund, we can set up electronic signatures and specifically to your group. And so there's some things that we can do that simplify the process at the group level. It's a lot harder to do that in our one-off core business because there's just too many moving parts. But once stuff starts to look the same asset or same advisor, then we can really start to create some customization.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's chat offline about that. We use third-party administrators, so all of our stuff is already set up on DocuSign. But I'd love to hear what else you offer. It's kind of Sure. It's just called sponsor fund manager focus side of the business. Now let's switch to the investors. So why would folks push the money from the Wall Street, the real basic stuff, to the self-directed right now? The stock market seems to be doing reasonably well today. It feels like there's no fear. It feels like the stock market is just, it doesn't care about COVID anymore. It doesn't care about anything. It's just kind of rolling like a crazy bull that's been running and running and running. It's still running. So why self-directed custodian? Why go into alternatives?
Well, I think what you just said is actually some of the reason. There's no logic in fundamentals and investing in the stock market anymore. I mean, the COVID proved that out. I mean, Tesla's continuing to prove that out. And then you factor in GameStop and all of these other shorted stocks that the internet, and I love that they're doing it, but it's a game I want no part of. And, you know, there's winners and there's losers in the market. But unfortunately, the idea of fundamentally investing for the long term is getting harder and harder and harder and harder for retail investors. Alternatives are exactly that. It's just an alternative. It's not for everybody, nor is it probably for 100% of your portfolio. But if you're not taking a portion, and for a lot of our clients, it's a larger portion, and moving into hard assets, stuff that you can look, see, understand, feel, touch in some cases, then you're at the mercy of the stock market. And anyone that looks in the last 12-month period of 2020 and says that the stock market makes sense and it's easy or is anybody can figure it out, it's the total opposite. It's like blackjack. If you have no idea why stuff's going up and stuff's going up 10, 12, 12X in a week, that's how you make money on the blackjack table. And what you have to understand is you have no control when you win and no control when you lose. You just hope you win more than lose, and you hope you take your chips off the table before you give it all back. Well, you can't be long in the stock market and play like it's blackjack, or eventually the house will win. And that's what I feel like we're getting to in the marketplace.
Yeah, it's a great answer. I appreciate the wisdom. I share the thoughts, and we provide alternatives, real estate funds. And what we provide is predictable, much more predictable outcome than the stock market. Still no guarantees, there's still risks, but it feels like, you're right, there is no end to the insanity, and the PE expansion has gotten to the point where no common sense. And I have a good friend who uses the word, the terms, reversion to the mean is due. So the mean is so much lower where the market is today, it should revert back, but it's just not doing it. But one day, and we don't know when, but something will happen. So now let's talk about how folks can grow their portfolios, their self-directed assets, faster, better, and tax-free using a self-directed IRA custodian. Give me some thoughts on, first of all, tax-free growth. One of the substantial concerns today is increases in tax rates. It's just another kind of government is getting bigger, and they would like to taxation without representation. I don't know if it's the right term, but they definitely want to tax folks quite a bit more because they're spending a whole lot more. A number of folks are thinking, hey, I want to convert traditional to Roth. I want to find other ideas how to grow my net worth without giving Uncle Consem a lot of money. So any thoughts on that?
Well, IRAs, you know, in and of themselves are such a magical tool, because so many people don't even realize that an IRA, they think that they're just tying their money up till they retire. Very few people actually understand what they get inside of an IRA. To illustrate the difference between taxable growth and tax advantage growth, like an IRA, if you take a dollar and double it for 20 years at a 25% tax rate each year, that dollar grows to about $75,000 over 20 years, right? So your dollar becomes $2, you pay 25% tax on the dollar you earn, and so on for 20 years. If you take the same dollar and you make the same return, which is doubling every year, but you strip away the 25% annual tax, which is exactly what an IRA does for you, at the end of 20 years, you'll have over $1 million.
Wow.
So when you use the term that I love, which is net worth, and you know, I kind of, I don't know if I coined it or if I stole it, but if you want to make money, right, you invest. If you want to build wealth, you invest and find the best tax strategy to do so. And you can't get wealthy by, you can make great investments, but you're leaving too much money on the table. So We talk a lot about IRAs as the tool, whether you buy real estate or whether you buy stocks, you know, isn't so much that's step two. Step one is get as much money into the retirement accounts as possible because of that tax-free growth. And then the second is, yeah, I mean, what type of asset do you think is going to get you there? And it's not the short game, it's the long game. And if you think that you're going to get rich by buying GameStop, you know, 4 days before it goes up 200 or 2000%, it's a fool's game. You'll never win. But if you can buy investments that grow at 5, 10, 15, 20% year over year, right, with an occasional downturn, you can really see a portfolio growing in a tax advantage manner start to exponentially take off in latter years. So, you know, we're big fans of alternatives. We're big fans of IRAs. And then we're also big fans of the Roth, especially, you know, personally, you know, depending on the assets that you invest into, you can even add in tax strategies beyond just using a retirement account. But you can actually invest into assets that have a short-term reduction in value followed by typically a long-term gain. And you can use that short-term drop in value to create a Roth conversion, pay Uncle Sam on the lower value, hopefully at a lower rate, and then reap the rewards of all of that growth from that day forward tax-free. So a lot of strategies there, but it all revolves around both good investment strategy coupled with good tax strategy, which is how you build wealth.
Yeah, great feedback, especially the last piece. Love it. we've talked about this as well. We actually have a vehicle, Tempo Growth Fund, that a number of folks are using to execute that strategy. Investing through a value add or substantial value add or a growth type of fund or a individual deal, that investment drops in the value first as this heavy construction and renovation and redevelopment, and then convert to the from traditional to Roth, and then grows as a Roth at that point to the full value of the investment. And the term that I like to use is the J curve. Because returns in a value-add project or a value-add fund like Tempo Growth Fund look like a J curve. They first come down, then they reach the bottom, perfect time to convert, and then they shoot up to the top. And IRA custodians. So what's the process if somebody invests through you and then they invest in a fund like ours? Again, I'm not promoting the fund, just to be very clear. This is educational, but it's a good example. They invest traditional IRA $100,000, and then the deal like ours, and the value starts dropping on statements, and 2 years later, it looks like $70,000 value. How would they go about getting the conversion process done? What's the process? How do they get the paperwork necessary to make it acceptable to the custodian to accept a $70,000 or $60,000 value at the bottom of the J curve on a conversion, so that they can now pay last taxes on the converted value?
Yeah, and I'll answer that generally and then specifically, because I want to make sure our you know, the listeners today understand that the Roth conversion strategy is not unique to NewView. It's not unique to alternatives. The strategy is easier to execute in alternatives. But I say that because for anyone that has bought some public securities that have dropped 20, 30, 40, 50%, if they think that there's elasticity in the pricing, i.e., you know, March of 2020, and here we are today. Anybody in March of 2020 could have taken their pre-tax retirement accounts and converted them at the current value. So when we talk about Roth conversions, it's not a backwards or forward looking thing. It is a snapshot in time, and it says, what's the value today of this asset? And whatever its value is what you owe tax on. So if you bought a stock, $50,000 worth of stock, and it was worth $20,000, you could convert it $20,000. The benefit is if it grows, it's tax-free. So you only pay tax on 20 and who knows how much you have. The risk is that if it keeps dropping, you pay tax on 20 and it's only worth 10. So, you know, it's not a foolproof strategy, but if you believe that there is that J curve or elasticity in pricing of whatever the asset is, it can make sense. As far as valuation goes for NewView, no, we are just a custodian. So we simply have to have a clear documentation of the value by someone that could reasonably value the asset. We do not go in and review the value and say it's right or wrong. We don't go in and say, so for example, we wouldn't accept the value from the customer directly because they really aren't the pricing, you know, they're not in the pricing, but we would take that value from the sponsor, right? An accounting firm that was tied to the sponsor, some sort of financials, whatever it is, And whatever the value is at that snapshot in time is what they pay tax. So if they have a statement from your fund saying that it's $70,000 or $65,000 as of as of January 30th, we'll convert at that $65,000 or $70,000.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. It's perfect. It is the fact that our IRA custodian like NewView does not get in the business of valuing investments. You just need proper documentation to make the conversion. So statement plus possibly a letter from a CPA who's coming in and expressing their opinion on the value. You didn't even mention this, but it would certainly help if you had a letter from a CPA that says, I took a look and it looks like the fair value is $65,000.
Yeah, I mean, the more third-party valuation components you have, the better, because you're not converting on your own value. You're converting on a value that someone else has declared that is a reasonable expectation of being able to convert, and a CPA certainly has that.
Yeah, great idea. And you said that you could do this in the stock market, but the beauty about real estate, it's a lot more predictable alternative. Right. You still have to convert to the fair market value, but if you have a forward outlook, or at least some understanding where things are going, obviously there's a risk and uncertainty in everything. You have a better predictability than doing it in the stock market. Let me put it this way. When the market dropped in March, how did you know it was a bottom? You don't. Timing the market is a mission impossible. Everybody who tries to time the market, they either, I don't know what percentage of the people, there's a statistical number that 80% of the fund managers in the stock market cannot beat the index. 80%. So maybe 20% of the people somehow have a better chance. So if you belong to the small minority that can outperform the market, so much more power to you. But white majority cannot.
Well, it sounds a lot like the percentages in Vegas too. I mean, it's legalized gambling. And, you know, if you don't think that the house ultimately wins the game, look no further than what happened yesterday with all of these apps not allowing retail investors to buy a handful of securities because they were outweighing the purchases and squeezing the short sellers. I mean, if that doesn't tell you that these billion-dollar funds can't just snap their fingers and say, get these retail investors out of our way, and look what all these companies did. For a day they did, they halted trading, stocks dropped 50-60%, they covered their shorts, they lost money, but they should have lost $20 billion, $30 billion, and they lost two. And it's a house game. And it's fine to go to Vegas, and it's fine to go to Wall Street when you want to try to take a couple risks and make some money, but you will never time it right as a retail investor. And if you do it once and think you can do it again, you'll screw it up eventually. The house will get their money if you let them.
Yeah, I share the wisdom. You're much better off with predictable investments. And I have a good friend who wrote a book, How to Be CEO of Your Own Money. Take control. It's your money at the end of the day, right? If you let the Wall Street run the show, then they'll do what works for them, and they find a way to make it good for themselves. And what happens to you is another conversation. But taking control of your money is all about self-directed custodians. So yep. Become CEO of your own money. And I'm referencing Ryan Parson. He's my good friend, and he is the guy who wrote a book, I think, Be a CEO of Your Own Money, but at least uses the term. So. Now let's continue the conversation a little bit further. So what's the fastest process for somebody to pull the trigger and to get rolling with NewView? Is there a good website? Is there education? Just give a short story. If somebody's listening, they haven't done anything yet, how would they take action to set up an account and to get going with self-directed IRA?
The website's a great start. It's chock full of education, videos, blogs, all kinds of things on a variety of topics. That's newviewtrust.com with a U, NUVIEWtrust.com. On there, there's also paper application that you can fill out and complete, or there's an online application you can complete and get the process started. It's pretty quick process in general. Takes about a week, maybe 10 days to get your account open and for us to actually receive the money from wherever it may be sitting today.
So one quick question, do most people transfer their money in or they do the rollover?
Well, it depends. I mean, most of our accounts, our IRA accounts are mostly transfers, but for 401ks, they have to be a rollover. So the bulk of our clients, 401k clients, all do rollovers.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, because I saw the difference was the rollover. You get the money, you get 60 days. You gotta deposit it in another account. Otherwise, you know, it's considered to be a withdrawal. So
yeah, those days have kind of come and gone to some degree. We used to talk about that as a strategy a long time ago to move IRAs because it was way faster. Custodians were taking 2-3 weeks to transfer money, so it was much faster for you to go get it directly and bring it to us than for us to go ask for it. There were two things that have changed. One is the process has gotten much quicker. I mean, we get money sometimes in 2 or 3 days. The other thing is you can only do that. The IRS came out and kind of clarified really stuff that they put out that was poorly written, but you can only do that once every 12 months. So, you know, we're not really a fan of having customers do that. And then 8 months later, and, you know, they may need the money and need to go borrow it for a 2 or 3 week period from their IRA. And if they do it with us to move the money, then they're locked out of that. So the combination of those things has really put an end to the general idea of a rollover, but it's still possible, just very not really necessary in today's environment.
Thank you for that clarification. Now, let me ask you a tough question, though. This question is going to be, so we covered a great strategy conversion of traditional to Roth through a value-added investment and the bottom of the J-curve. Now we're going to talk about some really, people are fearful of this. The scary word. So for sophisticated investors who use self-directed IRAs, at times they don't know if UBIT is due. And some folks have made investments into, you know, they bought a turnkey house into the IRA and got a mortgage. Or they got into some multifamily syndication into equity units and there was a mortgage on the commercial property. So what's kind of, I know you don't give a tax advice and we're just discussing this, but what percentage of accounts ever get audited if people didn't pay UBIT for some reason? And in general, you got to try to be compliant and pay the UBIT when it's due. But if you didn't pay UBIT, what percent of accounts gets audited and how many people wind up in trouble for not paying UBIT? So I'm just curious, kind of because the number of people have asked me, what do I do? I said, I don't know. What do you do? Talk to your CPA. But a lot of them don't want to go back. I've been in this syndication for 5 years and I haven't paid tax for 5 years. If I file now, I'm going to get a massive tax bill. So what do I do?
So let me start with, and I'm going to take a couple minutes if that's okay. And let me just address UBIT because I think that's something that people need to understand. UBIT and UDFI, UDFI is unrelated debt financed income. UBIT is unrelated business income tax. They are two separate applications of the same tax. We refer to it all as UBIT, but they're two separate use cases. UBIT is when you invest into a business, an operational business that doesn't pay tax. So if you think about it, if you take your IRA and you go invest into Microsoft, Microsoft is a tax-paying entity. So my IRA is not subject to tax because Microsoft is paying corporate tax on the business earnings. But if I go invest into Mike's computer business, and Mike's computer business is an operational business just like Microsoft, but it's an LLC instead of a C-Corp, Mike's computer business is not paying tax. If my IRA invests into it, the IRS says, we're not taxing your IRA from an income tax perspective. We already agreed we would never do that. But we do have to collect the business tax from your IRA because you just earned money into your account from Mike's computer business and Mike didn't pay the tax at the business level. So you as the shareholder have to pay it. It's a very fair tax because its application is only if the entity doesn't pay it. So it's not like you're double taxed. You're getting you're paying this tax all the time through Microsoft and Apple and all these other companies you invest into. The more common application that self-directed accounts is UDFI, unrelated debt financed income. Again, we refer to it as UBIT, but it's actually debt financed income tax. Its application says if you're going to take a retirement account and borrow money to leverage your gain. So I'm going to put 100 grand in and I'm actually going to have 70% leverage. So it's really a $200,000 or $180,000 or whatever deal. The IRS says, we're not going to tax you on your profits from an income tax standpoint, but we are going to take the piece that the non-IRA, i.e. the loan, triggered for you. So if I go out and buy a house with debt, 50% debt, the IRS says 50% of my return is subject to the tax, not income tax, but it's tax because you're getting the power of leverage inside a tax advantage vehicle. Again, a very fair, and you don't hear me say this very often, approach to how they tax you. When it comes to paying the tax, it's filed annually. I can tell you not as many people pay it as they should. You know, we educate our clients, notify our clients when we know it exists, but it's a small percentage of people that are following the intent of the guide. To date, I have never seen I've never had a customer audited for it personally. I am also unaware. I've been in this business 16 years. I've never heard of a customer being audited for it, but the IRS has become more aware of it. They've sent out some field memos. So my guess is over time, they probably will pluck some people off and audit it. But as of today, it hasn't been on their radar to audit, but it's been on their radar to let people know they should be paying it. Last bit quickly on this is if you are in a position where you want to go out and take on debt, either through a fund or directly in a real estate purchase, if you make that investment in a solo QRP account, you are not subject to the tax. So there is an exemption there. We can do that. We are a full service custodian, one of a few that can actually set up either an IRA or a solo QRP. So in cases where our customers are going to do something that may trigger UDFI, we can look and see if they qualify or they can work with their accountant to create qualification, and we can set them up in a solo QRP, and then they don't have to worry about the UBIT or UDFI tax for debt leverage real estate.
That's a great overview. Really appreciate the clarity. So the solo 401k is what you're talking about.
Yep.
401ks are generally, it doesn't have to be solo. As far as I know, any 401k can invest into a leveraged asset. It could be a group plan, obviously. But great wisdom. A couple of very quick comments. So, it's great to hear that the number of people audited and have gotten in trouble is fairly low. So at least the fear factor shouldn't be there. But IRS could decide to go after some of these accounts. The other interesting thing is the classic UBIT. Yes, it's the investment in a partnership taxed as a partnership, not as a C corp. So LLC taxed as a partnership. One of the most common workarounds, just a kind of sharing the what do you do if you want to invest in an active business from an IRA, is to create a C corp blocker. Right? I mean, I'm sure you're aware. So the IRA could own a C corp or shares in a C corp like McDonald's, and then let the corp pay the corporate tax, which is a whole lot lower than the UBIT tax. So UBIT tax rates are very high, and definitely don't want to pay that versus a corporate tax. And on the other side, on the debt leverage, there are some really advanced techniques what people should do, but they absolutely should be aware that investing directly into anything leveraged, there is a risk of UBIT. Pretty straightforward story. So appreciate your wisdom. Any final thoughts, best book, remind the folks once again how to reach out to you or to your company, and parting thoughts.
First of all, thank you for having me, and I love chatting with people that understand this this industry very well, and you certainly do, and I appreciate that. My big thing is education. It's your money. It's personal to you. You need to know what you're doing with it. All too often, people I meet open up accounts, and they don't even know where their IRA is sitting, let alone what it's invested into. So there's no excuse to be ignorant about money in today's day and age. Get on the internet, get on podcasts like this. I mean, find people that know what they're talking about, and listen to them, and really educate yourself. If you do that, you will build wealth. There's very few ignorant people that are wealthy. They tend to be the ones, not the smartest, but the ones that educate themselves the most. So there's my parting tip and bit of wisdom. And you can do that on our website at newviewtrust.com, at least for the self-directed IRA portion, or give our team a call and let us know. If you want to reach me directly, you can email me at Jason, J-A-S-O-N, at newviewtrust.com. If you have questions or anything, you can send those directly over to me. Or if you're in a deal and have some more complex stuff, you're not certain how it looks, send it over to me. We're not advisors, but we understand this stuff pretty well, and we'll give you either an answer or we'll get you close enough to where you can make an informed decision.
Thank you, Jason. That's great advice, great feedback. Appreciate your wisdom and your sharing. And hope folks reach out and chat with you and learn more about it and educate themselves and take advantage of the self-directed IRA opportunities. Thank you kindly.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.